good morning. Welcome to a brand new week of life and a brand new week of Panic Podcasts. We're going to be looking at Psalm 40 this morning, so get your Bibles opened up to Psalm 40. Good to have you with us on this soggy morning in Southwest Virginia. I hope the weather is nice where you are, but it doesn't really matter where you are because I'm here and we're together in the Spirit for a new Panic Podcast. I was thinking about that this past week. Won't it be nice when we're together with the Lord and we're no longer separated by space and by time? What a wonderful day that will be. Let me find my glasses. I hope you had a good weekend. It was a gorgeous weekend in my neck of the woods, and we had a good service on Sunday. Numbers were down a little bit. People are, because it was so nice, I guess, people were down in Dollywood and different places nearby, enjoying the last gasps of summer of 2020. I know summer, my wife is very, it gets on her nerves when I talk about how the end of August is the end of summer, because technically summer goes until, what is it, September 21st or something? But I mean, let's face it, you know, growing up in Canada, I know it's a little different here in the States, but growing up in Canada, school always started after Labor Day weekend. And so summer always came to an end pretty much at the end of August. Not to mention the fact that back home, September is usually just a dreary, dull, kind of chilly month. Boy, I'm glad to get away from that Canadian weather. Well, we're going to be looking at Psalm 40, as I said, as we look at a handful of Psalms over the next few Panic Podcasts. I think that the next series of study that we do will be a brief study of the book of Revelation. We're going to look at Christ in the Revelation. So we're not going to look specifically at the visions in Revelation pertaining to the end times, but we're going to look at how Christ appears in the book of Revelation. But that's in about a week and a half or so from now. But for now, you got your Bibles open. Let's read Psalm 40 together. And I'm going to read from the King James Version because that's the only version that you should ever read the Psalms in. Not because it's a particularly good translation, but just because it sounds so good. All right, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Psalm 40. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Maybe the best commentary on Psalm 40 is something written by the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, both Paul in his letter to the Romans and David in his psalm deal with the attitude of the believer. A child of God may claim to love his heavenly Father, but the proof of that love is reflected in his attitude, how he treats the Lord and how he pays attention to the Lord's will. But Psalm 40 is also a worthy follow-up to the one that precedes it. Psalm 39 is a powerful testament to the frailty and, let's call it, the impermanence of man. Psalm 39 paints a dreary picture of the vanity of human existence. Now, don't get me wrong. Psalm 39 is a beautiful psalm, and it is a comforting one. It's frequently read at funerals and for good reason. But when you actually read it carefully and think about the implications of the words David wrote, you get a very vivid picture of the colossal failure of human life. Without a relationship with God, listen to me, life really is meaningless. Look at Psalm 39, verses 4, 5, and 6. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. Well, that sounds like something you'd read in Ecclesiastes, not the Psalms. David, in Psalm 39, wanted to complain to God, but he kept his tongue quiet. Instead of complaining, he asked God to show him just how short his life really was in the great scheme of things. Short and insubstantial is all human life, not just David's. Now, you can probably relate to how David felt as he wrote this psalm. At various times in your life, you've probably been so down, you just wanted it to end. Not that you would end it, but that you wished the Lord would just call you home. The stress and pressure of life can sometimes make you glad that you don't live forever and that you will eventually die, bringing an end to that stress and pressure. And that's what David is getting at here in Psalm 39. Life is so transient, thought David, that people are like phantoms, like ghosts. Life is so short. People who are still alive are like ghosts already. Their end is that near, and yet they are living and carrying on like they'll just go on forever. It's a gigantic waste of time. And that's how David felt. That's probably how you feel sometimes. Psalm 39, verse 12, Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. You probably felt like that too. David felt as though his prayers were going nowhere, as though God couldn't hear his cries for help. Worse, this man whom God loved so much sometimes felt like a stranger to God. Of course, David was no stranger to God. And of course, God was hearing every prayer David prayed. But there are times, let's admit it, when circumstances pile up on top of us and we feel as though God is deaf, and we feel as though we are really just strangers to Him, when in fact the opposite is true, proving once again that you can never, ever trust your feelings. And those are some of the, I think, just dreadful themes of Psalm 39. And along comes verse 30 in a dose of reality. Let's look at those first four verses, and I'm going to read them from the TNIV. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Okay, in spite of how the psalmist may have felt in the last psalm, here in Psalm 40, he's made his mind up. He will wait patiently for the Lord to act. He may not have felt like it. He may have felt like it was a waste of time, but he's made his mind up, and he's going to wait for the Lord to act. Now, there's two things of note here. First of all, David is waiting for the Lord to do something. He's not waiting for the Lord to just show up, like one waits for a guest to show up for dinner. David is in the Lord's presence, and he's waiting for the Lord to hear his cry and to act. The Lord translated waited here means much more than simply, you know, waiting around passively for someone or for something to happen. The Hebrew word could actually be translated, hopefully I hoped, or expecting I expected. So the sense here is the hopeful, expected attitude with which the psalmist cried out to God. David cried out to God, hoping God would hear and expecting that God would not only hear, but that He would do something. I think Matthew Henry's comments on this kind of active waiting are very interesting. Listen to what he wrote. To wait on God is to live a life of desire toward Him, delight in Him, dependence on Him, and devotedness to Him. Old Mr. Henry's quite right about the importance of adopting a positive, expectant, hopeful attitude as the believer waits for the Lord to act. The alternative is to sit around doing nothing, looking inward, becoming very self-centered, and being a miserable person that nobody wants to associate with. When you've prayed for God to act and are waiting, for goodness sakes, adopt a positive attitude and praise the Lord. You probably won't feel like it, but do it anyway. Don't wait to feel like praising the Lord before you praise Him. That's not being a hypocrite, by the way, because you're commanded to praise the Lord regardless of your circumstances. You know, elsewhere in the Psalms it says, If you don't praise the Lord, then the rocks and the stones will cry out, as ridiculous as that may sound. Okay, so it's equally as ridiculous for a Christian not to praise God simply because he does not feel like it. So praise the Lord, right? And expect God to answer the prayer. Devote yourself to Him in prayer and in service. Waiting for the Lord to do something does not mean that you sit around on your thumbs not doing anything. Pray. Make your request known to God. And even if you don't feel like it, start rejoicing, start praising the Lord. Don't worry about it. Your emotions will come along. And even if you doubt, I mean, who's not going to doubt, right? Even if you doubt, expect God to do something. Train your mind. Don't let your mind control you. You control it. Train your mind. And then get up and do something for God. Secondly, David was rewarded with a very gracious response. God lifted David up and out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Now, we don't know the exact prayer request that was being answered here, but it's highly unlikely that David was stuck in a literal pit of mud and mire. But very often, circumstances can literally bog a person down to the point where they're unable to do this or that. Ill health can stop you dead in your tracks from enjoying life. Economic reversals can literally suck the joy of living right out of you. A relationship gone bad can certainly take the wind out of your sails. Whatever it was that was causing David to feel like he was slip sliding away from the good life, God intervened and took care of. The Lord turned the situation around, and David's attitude turned around too. Instead of being a wailful, sadness-filled lament, David now sings a new song to the Lord because new circumstances demanded a new song. And as news of God's deliverance spread, according to David, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Look at Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Just as David was rewarded for waiting on the Lord, so those who make the Lord their trust, who do not look to the proud, and who do not turn aside, and who turn aside from false gods, will be rewarded. They will be blessed by the Lord. Now, to be blessed in this context is to find yourself in a position to receive good things from the Lord. I think one reason why so many modern Christians miss out on supernatural divisions, deliverances, or supernatural provisions from the Lord is because they are, as David put it, looking to the proud and or turning to false gods. In other words, and listen to this because this might describe you. If you pray to God to do something, but then try to use your own ingenuity to make it happen, or depend on other resources or people to make it happen, then you're doing it all wrong. James put it this way, James 1, 6 to 8, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed about by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they will receive anything from the Lord, because they're double-minded and unstable in all they do. So when you pray to God, when you present your prayer request to Him, you shouldn't doubt. Now, I want to say a quick word about this. It's almost impossible not to doubt. Anybody that tells you they never have doubts about God or God answering prayer or God's promises or anything having to do with the Scriptures, they lie about other things too. Everybody has their doubts, okay? But there's a difference between a doubt that comes into your head and a doubt that you dwell on and make it a permanent thing. So you may pray that God will heal someone you love, but then you wonder, will God really do that? Well, your job is not to dwell on that doubt and try to conquer that doubt. Your job is to stop thinking about that doubt and start expecting God to do something. Hopefully God will heal that person, but that's not always what God will do, is it? You may have noticed that a lot of times when you pray for God's healing, something else happens. So God has a will sometimes that you may not be fully aware of, especially when you're personally involved in a situation. It's really hard to discern God's will. If a loved one is suffering, we want that suffering to end. Okay, but so it's hard to know exactly what God's will is in every situation. So what I'm saying is, don't entertain a doubt. Doubts should be fleeting things. You need to focus on the Lord. You need to focus on God's word and God's promises. You need to, instead of focusing on God answering the prayer exactly the way you've prayed it, you need to focus on the fact that God will do something. God will do something. God will bless those who are seriously trusting in Him. It's too bad there are so many non-serious Christians in the church today because they're missing out. Now look at verse 5. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Now, there are three important points to stress in this verse. First of all, David wasn't afraid to speak and tell of God's deeds. There were plenty, so many in fact, that a lifetime of declaring all that God had done wouldn't be nearly enough time to mention them all. It's not that God had done a lifetime's worth of good things for just David. David knew the scriptures. He could easily recount from his own history, the history of his people, all that God had done from the days of creation to all that He had done for Israel. And that's a good reason to know your Bible. Being able to relate to others the many, many miracles, deliverances, and divine interventions it records will not only be a blessing to them, but to you also. The second thing about verse 5 is that phrase, wonders you have done. I love that. It refers to supernatural, extraordinary works. The wonders of nature are wonderful, and so is the birth of a baby. But those things are not what David is talking about here. God's direct interventions into the history of human beings are what he has in mind. The whole reason for this new song was that God had intervened in his own personal history and delivered him, answered his prayer. And the last thing is, to me, the most profound one. The things God has planned for believers. Other versions speak of the Lord's thoughts toward us. Imagine God thinking about all the good things he wants to do for you. You and I cannot begin to conceive what God has for us. What he wants to do for us, what he wants to do in us, what he wants to do through us for other people. Through the prophet Isaiah, God said as much. Look at Isaiah, let me see here. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, that is a marvelous truth to latch onto right there. God, the maker and sustainer of all there is, thinks about you. And he has these marvelous, wonderful, unfathomable plans to bless you. His blessings lined up for you all along the journey, you can't imagine. Does anybody on earth have it better than a Christian? I don't think so. Take a look at verses 11 and 12. Do not withhold your mercy from me, God, for many, or may your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Now, Don't forget, okay, we're reading some poetry here. So there's no way God would ever withhold mercy, or anything else for that matter, from any believer asking in earnest for it, okay? God is taking some poetic license. David is taking some poetic license here. In the urgency of the situation, David is making sure God has his mercy at the ready. David's troubles have, in his words, surrounded him. And in the same breath, he mentions that his sins have overtaken him. So whatever his troubles were, they were likely to have been the result of his sins. A lot like the troubles we get into, the result of things that we've done or said that we shouldn't have. Sin always produces the exact opposite effect than what it promises. It promises to make you feel good, but in the end only makes trouble for you. Sin also blinds you to greater truths, like the fact that God has mercy in abundance for the asking. Now, David had a realistic view of himself. His sins were as numerous as the hairs on his head. Only God can effectively deal with sin. The psalmist has asked for a number of things in this psalm, and his last request has to do with saints and sinners. Verses 14 to 16. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. That's the sinners. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. That's the saints. There are really only two groups of people on this planet, the saints and the sinners. David's prayer for the saints, those who are actively seeking him, seeking the Lord, and those who are longing for his help, is that they catch a glimpse of, or they see how great the Lord is. God is great because those who seek him and those who are depending on him will always find him in him exactly what they need. Instead of seeking God like the saints, the sinners were seeking to do harm to God's people, David in this case. His prayer concerning them was that they should be put to shame and confusion and be turned back in disgrace. Those are two very interesting prayer requests. Often in the same day, in the Psalms, David prayed for the destruction of God's enemies and his enemies, but here his hope is that the sinners will fail in whatever it is they were planning, and that their failures would result in their shame and disgrace. Let me tell you something, folks, that's not a bad prayer request for you to pray today either. Psalm 40 is chock full of eternal, powerful truths, and we've just barely scratched the surface here today. As you go through your day today, please remember to think of what God has done in the past. His blessings, answers to prayer, his rescues, and his deliverances. Thank him for what he has done. Now listen to me. I know that you can get to a point in your life where you're so down and so discouraged that you're not thinking or seeing things clearly. And you may have a hard time thinking of a prayer God answered. Of course, he's answered numerous prayers for you. Don't be ridiculous. But I know it's hard to think of them sometimes. You get full of yourself. You get full of your problems. You get inward looking instead of upward and outward looking. I know what it's like. So when that happens, open the Bible. Read what God has done for other people. Read about what God did for David, for Moses, for Joshua, for Paul, for Peter. Read about the incredible supernatural deliverances that occurred to the great characters throughout scriptures. This is why you need to know your Bibles. And start thanking God for what he did for others. Pretty soon you'll begin to remember all the things that he did for you. Thank him for what he's done. Because doing that can give you much needed confidence when you face what seems to be a hopeless situation. I hope it's a very long time before any of you listening to this face a hopeless situation. But life isn't always what we've hoped for. Life takes these crazy twists and turns. And sometimes we find ourselves in that hopeless situation that we had nothing to do with, or possibly we had everything to do with. God doesn't care. If you're in a hopeless situation, he wants to help you out of it. Do it. Thank God for what he's done. And ask God to do what he's done in the past, to do what he's done for others, to do for you now. I promise you, God always comes through in the most surprising, remarkable ways. Sometimes God comes through in the exact way that you prayed for. Other times, not. He comes through in a different way, but it's always the right way for you and for everybody else in your life. Okay, that's really all I got to say about Psalm 40. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. Let's bow our heads and pray. Look at everybody, it's a brand spanking new week. Monday, as you know, is my favorite day of the week. It's a chance to kind of wipe off the blackboard of your life and start writing on it all over again. Take care about what you write on that fresh, clean blackboard. Let's go out there and make it a great week, all right? Let's be positive, let's be upbeat, let's be optimistic. Even when you don't feel like it, be the kind of person that God can use to make other people sit up and take notice of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the care with which David wrote so many of the Psalms. He was an extraordinary person, but he was very much like we all are, prone to ups and downs, prone to great swings of emotion, like we all are. Help us, Lord, no matter how we feel, to keep our minds focused on you. Help us to train our minds to think the way we're supposed to think, the way your Bible says we should. Lord, I pray for each and every person listening to this podcast this morning. I pray that you give them a great day today. Whatever it is they're facing, good things, bad things, maybe they're not even sure what the day holds. I pray that when the day is over, they can look back over it and say, yeah, I saw you there, Lord. You answered that prayer. You came through for me. Help us to wait expectantly and hopefully for the Lord to do his thing in our lives and the lives of the people we love. Pray for a good week ahead, a week full of opportunities to serve you and glorify you in everything that we say and do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, go on out and make it a great day today. God bless you all. We'll see you back here Wednesday for another Psalm. We'll see you then.